Charles, dear God.
We've done it.
We're here. Oh my God. How's the technical issues 2 minutes to go before going live only would happen to me? But
it's always the way. It's
fine. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the AFLW show for another season. Oh my goodness. I can't believe we are back. It's come around so fast. We were talking about this for a couple of months now, and we are back, and I have a special visitor.
We good love timing. Special visitors. This is what happens when you're live.
I know. The beauty of parenting, everyone. But I'm joined by Kira and Terry. Terry, welcome, and young Ava.
Hello, Ava.
Hi, Ava. Welcome to the show.
You just wanted to co-host. Yes, she is.
Future AFLW star. You heard in the making.
Everyone on
let
the
it
board.
Hear first. She's going to park herself here, which is nice, but I'll just close the door. Kira, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm very, very excited to be back and talking all things AFLW. I think, you know, it's an interesting concept still having the men's season running side by side, and obviously we know how exciting they are at the moment. So hopefully that the AFLW can bring us some excitement too. And we all know, without, you know, going too much on about the past, we all know that season 7 wasn't exactly the season we were after. And we've had a lot of change in the off season, probably the most change out of all the teams. So, you know, obviously with change comes a lot of unknown, but it also comes a lot of excitement. So I'm really excited to see what this team can do, and fingers crossed that we have a lot of happy episodes coming.
That's exactly right. I mean, I'm going back on last year, we had a lot of episodes where we were talking about the same thing constantly. But no, it's really exciting. Terry, welcome. I know this is something you really wanted to jump in head first this time and really get behind the women's team. And welcome to the AFLW show.
Thank you. You know, I went and watched them train last week, and it was in that moment that I had a newfound spark for the program. Not going to lie, I'd like completely tuned out probably halfway through last season, like completely tuned out.
Which no one blames you, because it was difficult to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's been so much change that it's done. The past is done. They've actually done the thing and made the changes. And it's a very young group, a very fresh group. But I love getting behind things from the start. So I feel like this is literally a brand new club again in some sense. So it's exciting. And also, I need to learn them. I can probably tell you 6 players, 7 players right now off the top of my head. That's kind of where I'm at, honestly. So I'm happy to start fresh and make some new friends.
Well, you know, I think that's something we spoke about so much last season, was how that's why it's so difficult for so many AFLW fans to get fully attached to their group, because of how much change there's been in the first 7 seasons, how much list change there is. And I think finally, this is probably the first season that I'm going into where I think it will start to settle down now. We've got all the teams. We've got a new coach. Hopefully we have got our program under wraps and our culture is starting to, you know, build again. So fingers crossed, I've got really good hopes that even if we're not the best on field this season, which I don't by any means think we're going to be, I think hopefully we get to, you know, get a bit more retention in the group and just build something nice. Like you said, from the beginning, we're starting scratch.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. And like you mentioned, we've had so many list changes. And, yeah, new coach. From all accounts, I've spoken to a couple of the girls. Bucky's really, really good. And Ava is really enjoying coming in here.
That's okay. What I've learned about Bucky is open door policy with the fan base. That's what I've learned about Bucky. Understands where the world is right now. And, very, very good sign so far.
I think it's really interesting you mentioned that, because not so much from a fan perspective, but more so the media side of the women's program, I've seen a complete shift this offseason. I think the media we're producing from a club perspective for this program is just completely different. We spoke about it in our AFLW group chat, but even just the fact that they wore the same thing to the AFLW season launch, I think that shows exactly where we're at as a group. I think the social media post coming out, that video, I could talk about that video all episode, but I won't do that. If you haven't seen the video that Carlton posted with fans and players, and it was like a letter to each other. If you haven't seen it, after we finish the show, do not leave us now. But after we finish the show, go watch it, because it actually gave me goosebumps. It got me really, really excited for the season. And I think I'm really excited, not, you know, we'll get into the actual football side of things, but as we've touched on, not for so much how we're going to play this year, because as we've mentioned, young group, but just the vibe that we're getting from the club and what Bucky's bringing is really exciting, I think. And it's a good time to be an AFLW fan in terms of Carlton, because I think we're just starting fresh. So jump on board now and let's go along for the ride.
Yeah, 100%. And with that,
yeah,
I really want to show this off. When you first sent it to us today, I'm like, I have to show this off. So without further ado, let's get this rolling.
I love it.
It's actually like every year it just gets better. Every season gets better. Like, huge shout out to Willem. He does some amazing work for Blue Abroad across everything that goes on social media. That's ripper fine there, Tez. He is elite at what he does. And I know he was in his element at training the other week. So
should have seen him. Should have seen him. It was, well, first of all, I mean, I was in my element. We were granted to access to go and watch the women train last week. And so we get there and you know, they took us around to, you know, the ground, girls are training. And we just thought we'd be standing around the boundary line and just go around the boundary line and, you know, take whatever we want. And then we were like, you want to go on the field? And we're like,
yes.
So we were like on the field, yeah. And shout out to the club and coach as well, Bucky, who really wants to grasp what we have right now when it comes to media.
I love someone who embodies everything that the club is about, and that includes access like this, because we've obviously been there from the start. We've seen how AFLW has evolved from the very first exhibition game right through to now. And I believe that I think they've released the new branding of AFLW as a whole for the league. Now with the whole 18 teams, with the possible inclusion of Tasmania in a couple of years as well, with to coincide with the men's, I think it's great that the club has given that access to you and to Willem to be able to do that and to show us as supporters, like, what can we expect? And I know having Mua Lelawifi, who I work with quite closely most days of the week now, I've heard nothing but great things come out of that club at the moment. And Mimi Hill took 20 minutes out of her extras about her a couple of weeks ago just to come and have a chat with us. Like, she was doing extras on a Wednesday night, and she stopped to come and say hi to the cheer squad while we're doing our banner. So it's like, just that in itself shows me just how much they care about what we've got going on. So I'm really excited, super, super excited. And I'm so glad to be back. It's great.
It's good. I'm excited to have you all back.
I'm so excited to be back. Also, I think cheer squad have hit the nail on the head. I think the reason that Carlton's AFLW program was so special, I suppose, in the early stages was that community feel. Like, that's our access to the club. You don't get the same access with the men's. You don't get to go to Icon Park to watch games. So that was why it was so special. It was almost like we were getting our home back. And obviously with how things have gone the last few years, we did lose that. So I think the fact that they've invited you into the club and invited Blue Abroad to get access, I think is just an outstanding step at getting that community and that love for AFLW back that many people have lost over the last few years.
Yeah, and people voted with their feet the last couple of seasons in terms of, I know, Carlton specifically, like home games that we've been to, they pretty much voted with their feet. They just didn't turn up. And everyone could see from the outset, like even from the inside, they're like, well, we want someone who's going to lead us 100% of the time, not part of the time, which is what Half was. He was there part-time. Like he wasn't there all of the time. And that's probably one of the key call-outs I've noticed is that Bucky's there and he's there all the time. So, and
the other thing, Shan, the other thing as well that I learned was that the training sessions are now during the day. They're not doing like PM training sessions when everyone's finished their job or school or whatever. Like it's, they're at work at the club midday or 1 o'clock, whenever training is.
Tuesday, Thursday they are, because it's meant that Moo has gone part-time with us. So she's part-time at AFL Vic now, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So her training days are Tuesday, Thursday, and she's there pretty much from 8 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And some days they share with the boys. Like the other week she said to me that they had a crossover with the boys at one point, which I think is fantastic. Because the boys get to see how hard, the boys get to see how hard the girls are working.
And I think same as alternative, the girls get to see how hard they're working. And, you know, we talk about it all the time, professional league, and I know you can't expect the same from them when they don't have the same training and money and all that stuff. But they see what it takes now, especially given we've made finals, we've had a pretty successful back end of the year. The girls get to see exactly what it takes to get success and to be a good side. So I think it's great that they have some crossover.
That's right. Yeah, and it's good. And that's what makes me so excited about this season. I know we were talking off air just beforehand, just with our list changes and how much that's changed and how much younger we look. Like we did bring in some experience with Harriet Cordner, who came across from the Tigers. What's our injury list looking like here? I know you mentioned something to me a bit earlier, and I know we've added someone to the inactive list today, but do you want to quickly run over who is available for selection next week?
So we've got quite a few injuries, not as many as last year, thank God, but I'll let you touch on who was placed on the inactive list today, but we also have Maddie Guerin, ACL again. We've got a bit of a Doherty on our hands here, so hopefully we come out the other side better than ever. Phoebe McWilliams done a calf, so they'll reassess in round one. Talia Reid, which we just got in this offseason, has done her ankle. She'll be reassessed in round five. And Paige Trudgeon's done her knee, and they're expecting an update in 3 to 5 weeks. And then today's one, Shan?
Lulu Beattie, who was, I think, our pick five, our highest pick in the supplementary draft, has been put on the inactive list, which means there is a list spot available after we picked up Genevieve Lawson-Tavin, I believe, as a list replacement for Maddie Guerin. So, we've had a lot in. We picked up Mariana Anthony, pick 19, Chloe Wrigley, pick 25, Madeline Hendry at pick 9, our lovely international Irish ladies in Dana Finn and Erone Fitzpatrick.
On the Irish girls, for anyone that was in the Gold Coast on the weekend for the men's game, Shane O'Sullivan actually spoke at the pre-match supporter function, and he actually mentioned the AFLW list management and their trip to Ireland, and he spoke incredibly about the Irish talent coming into the AFLW program. Obviously, we've seen it plenty of times in the men's, but he spoke really, really highly of these two athletes and got us really excited for them. So I think even the game we just had against Sydney, practice match, I've heard great things from the two of them. So fingers crossed we get quite a bit out of those two, although not seasoned AFL players. We know that they are, you know, really talented athletes, fast and incredibly athletic. So I'm excited for them as well.
I noticed them both at the training session, particularly Dana Finn, like in the drills and in when we got the footage and we watched it back. They're both very competitive. I mean, again, very early stages, but they definitely stuck out to me. I think the two of them and Mia Austin are the ones that I went away from training thinking, huh.
I think it's also just another perspective, like coming from another competition, having different training standards, having different expectations, just another perspective on the group will be really good. And Austin, I'm so excited for her to be back. We need Same. Austin bad.
Same.
I'm very excited.
No, but on top of that, we had some pretty notable departures. Yeah. Lucy McAvoy was probably the biggest one for me. She was a high pick for us when we first picked her up, and she's ducked across the border to Sydney. Brooke Walker, another huge one off to the Bombers. Nat Plane, who was an original game changer, gone to the Saints. And Serena Gibbs gone over to Perth. So they're
Alicia four days retired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's pretty fresh faces coming into the club, and poor Terry, who didn't know many to begin with, has to learn a whole new crop before.
What we about get poor started. Us, who has learned all everyone, and now every season we have to relearn them because we have that much list turnover.
Yeah.
No, but we still do have our pillars that we look to, and we still have that experience on our list, which is important. And we're led again, once again, by Karen. And I'm not sure if either of you went to the AFLW season launch for the club last Thursday night, but I think there's a little bit of something special in the air. Like it's like we've spoken about it already. It's like it's a fresh vibe coming out of the club. And
that's a very polite way to say Daniel Harford's gone, Shannon.
Well,
I think that's the exciting bit about having so much list turnover is probably in, you know, if you go back and listen to our latest episodes from season 7, we just got to the point where the culture was so bleh.
Toxic.
And like, toxic. It didn't look like anyone wanted to be there. Not anyone. That's a bit dramatic. It was Correct. Hard to talk about. Shan was just saying every week that we don't have a game plan and that she would do a better job at coaching, which she would. Like it was just the same stuff every week. And I think that's what's exciting is, although from the outside, and it is going to be tough, list turnover is hard, but it's almost better for us. Like just a clean slate. If you were so ingrained in the bad culture and the bad training habits and everything like that, then that's fine. You leave, go find a new home, and go find a new spark in yourself, and we'll find a spark within the group that we've got.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think also, I mean, we don't have to fear new teams coming into the comp now, right? That's it. Everyone has got a team, the starting line. We've all got the 18. We're done. So that's what kind of gives me a bit of faith as well moving forward, that fresh start, learn from your mistakes, build a good culture, build an environment where players don't want to leave. We don't have to worry about other teams coming and poaching to the level that we had last year and the year before that. And that's kind of why I'm ready, willing, and able to start again.
Yeah. Just to answer your question, Christopher, round one starts next weekend. we're not the first game, unfortunately. But I know that I think Melbourne are hosting a whole lot of home games at Icon Park this year, as are the Tigers, due to, I think, redevelopments of Punt Road. Or is it Bulldogs? Might be the Bulldogs with the redevelopment of the Witten Oval as well. So we are not the first game of the year, which is unfortunate, but we are taking on the Gold Coast, which we will touch on next week. But for now, just so good to be back. It really is.
It really is. And we had our practice match, croaky voice. We had our practice match just then last weekend against Sydney. And I think I looked at the score and was like, oh gosh, Sydney finished last on the ladder. We finished five above them, I think. They were a new team and we just lost to them. I was spiraling bad. But then I looked into it a little bit more, watched, you know, some of the game, and we have to do remember it is practice, you know, practice games. We're just testing out new waters, seeing new coach, seeing what game plan works, what doesn't. Yes, Michelle, I'm still recovering from the Gold Coast. That is my voice issue here. I don't think I'll ever regain it from there. But, yeah, so I think let's make a really big point of not just judging the scoreline, but judging the narrative of the game, because my prediction is that we're not going to win a whole lot of games, but let's have a look at, you know, the actual storyline and not just the scoreline.
Yeah. No, well said. I just from one training session, without knowing too much about anyone or anything, my perception was they're very young. As a group, they're very young, and relationships take time. You've got a whole lot of new players. You've got to figure their way out as individuals, as athletes, as professionals, and then within the team. So yeah, it'll be tough. I don't know. I don't have much expectation.
No.
Sorry, you go, Shan.
And I was just going to say, like, with the new game plan as well, trying to understand what the expectation from Bucky's going to be on them, and just them obviously learning something completely different. And even though they've been there for a long time, some of them, a game plan to them might be a bit foreign. So
absolutely.
At least I'm not diplomatic this time.
Oh, Shan, we love you. Tez, what was the layout of training? Like, what did they actually do?
There were a few drills, sort of in tight handball drills, the 3v3 over the top in tight in a square. Then they did a lot of half ground drills. I will say this, everyone that took a mark was counted 1, 2, 3, 4. Like, they want to get the ball moving quickly. It's clear that was a directive of either the training session or just what they want to do. They were telling people off anytime someone held the ball longer than honestly 3 seconds. Like, they want to move. They don't want to think too much. So, you know, do I read into that saying that we are going to want to play a bit more of a instinctive game style? I hope so. But if they're just having a crack, bringing the defensive pressure, there's not much you can be too disappointed with. You know, then the season's going to come along and you may get hurt on the other side by the more senior teams with more experience. But yeah, early, I mean, from one training session, clear directive was move the ball fast, make a decision a bit more quicker. And they're really encouraging that. And then, yeah, a couple of individuals that look solid.
That's really encouraging to hear.
Mm.
No, and I think with women's football, moving the ball quick is probably not as common. Like, if you go back and watch majority of the AFLW games, you'll find that most of them are pretty congested. I did the big V training earlier this year, we had the coach of the Western Bulldogs from their premiership here, who was actually coaching, Paul Groves, and he was taking us through different like bits of vision from an AFLW game and what is expected in each scenario. And just looking at it, a lot of it was congestion around the ball. And I think moving quickly kind of takes that out of, makes the ball move quicker, makes the score rate higher, and it's going to actually have an impact on the score lines. And look, if you move the ball quick and you stuff it up, that's fine. At least you're actually following the directive and you're trying to make something happen. Whereas if you chip kick all the way down the ground, gives the opposition a chance to set up well behind the ball.
And that's probably something. Would you say that's the biggest difference feature of women's footy compared to when you watch the men?
Yeah, and having like playing myself still, I kind of see it most of the time. Is like, I know the game on the weekend that we just played, our final, after we hit the front, we kind of just went into like lock it up at all costs kind of football.
Right.
And that's like sometimes like you have your good sides, like your Adelaides and your Brisbane's that like to break the game open. Melbourne, they won their flag last season based on opening up the ball and running. Yeah. But you do get some instances where the ball is on the ground more. There's more tackles. There's more congestion around the ball and there's not a lot of free flowing football. So to see and to hear that, well, that's something that we're trying to change is fantastic, because like women's football is only going to get quicker as the next crop of young girls come in, because they're being taught in their junior football to move the ball a bit quicker. So it's going to change. It's going to, yeah, like the evolution of men's football, it'll change. Like
yep.
Now you very rarely see slow play in the men's game. So you'll start to see very little slow play in the women's game in the next 4 or 5 years, just because of the new crop of girls that are coming through. And you'll have the girls that have been playing for years and years that are slowly starting to retire, that are not as quick as the younger girls are, or not as skillful as the younger girls are, because we have the Coates League now for the girls. We have the development behind it. Like there's so much happening behind the scenes in the under 18s, there's under 16s, there's academies all set up for girls now that weren't there at the start of the AFLW. So all of that is just going to change the structure and the way that the game's going to be played for women moving forward.
I was going to make that point. I was going to say I'd argue that Coates Talent League under 18 girls footy is faster than AFLW at the moment, just because they've been brought up with the game. 100%. I know a lot of people that prefer watching Coates Talent under 18 girls than AFLW, just because of the level of talent. They've grown up with the game. They've been playing since under 9s, so had the exact same trajectory as the boys, whereas at the moment we're still seeing the back end of athletes who picked up footy at 17 or came from a different code and things like that. So I think, as you mentioned, Shannon, it'll just get quicker and quicker and better and better.
That's it. Just a reminder.
And
also, no, go, Tez.
No, I was just going to say, it's just a reminder that it's hard for us as fans. We don't have long-term vision for the most part, but we kind of have to, because this is a generational evolution that we're seeing, you know?
Absolutely.
With, first of all, women having a league professionally to play in, and then now letting the grassroots generation come through to the full-time professional generation. So we're still some time away.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not to completely derail the conversation, because we're a football, real football channel and not a soccer channel, but like you just have to look at – I'm sorry, Ari, I'm sorry. You just have to look at like the Matildas and the success they've had over the last however many weeks. I mean, I found that incredible to watch personally.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I actually had this thought today that I wanted to mention is, I don't know about everyone else, you know, watching at home, but I'm someone that loves the TV on just in the background. Like I don't even have to be watching it, but I'm doing random things. If you're doing random things around the house, just put AFLW on the TV. You don't even have to be watching it. Because that's a number that the AFLW can then take to advertisers and get more money and then make a better product for you. So we need as many eyeballs on the sport as possible, whether that's liking the Facebook posts, liking the tweet, liking the Instagram, and then just having it on in the background, because it all collates and it all, you know, makes up for a bigger picture that will one day get us to the same point as the men's competition.
Yeah, and that could take years. And I know that something that we're working on in the background at work is delivering more programs for girls. So creating separate AusKick groups for girls, creating mini competitions for girls that are not with the boys, giving girls the opportunity to do halftime AusKick at an AFLW game, that sort of stuff. So we're trying to make the game more inclusive for young girls to want to play, because once they get the bug, they'll want to play. And then that will see, the, like you mentioned, the grassroots come right through. And that's something that we're trying to do from AusKick age. So like you said, girls growing up with the game, it's a new generation of girls about to grow up with the game. And They're born into the society that it's okay for women to play football. It's accepted. Like if it's something you want to do, go for it. So it's not like when I first started playing football, oh no, girls don't play football, or girls don't play football with boys. Rubbish. Some girls play better football than boys. So
absolutely. And I think going back to the Matildas, just because of how successful they were, you ask any soccer fan, I'm not going to pretend I'm a soccer fan. I've watched the most soccer I have in my life in the last 4 weeks. But the product itself, the Matildas product and the Socceroos product are completely different. They play a completely different game. You don't expect to watch the same thing. Yes, it's called soccer, but they're two completely different products. And I think that's the same as the AFLW and the AFL. They will always be completely different products under the same banner, but you can't watch a game of AFLW and expect to be watching a game of AFL men's. It's never going to happen. No. So you need to just accept it for what it is and learn to love the game itself and not what you expect it to be in your head because of preconceived ideas.
I think also this is where the club have a big responsibility as well, and the program has a responsibility. Like, yes, we want to encourage people to like watch the game, but the one thing that's going to get new eyeballs onto the game is the club doing well.
Absolutely.
And performing in a way and playing in a way that endears the fans to them, because people don't need too much. Carlton fans don't need too much of an excuse to go to Icon Park for a day and hang out. No, so if they know they're going to go to Icon Park and watch, a team wearing the monogram really have a crack and be committed, I actually think that is how it really, we can help talking about the game and bringing friends to games and creating content. We can help in that way, but it really, it's a big responsibility, and there's pressure with that on them, knowing that you've got to have the long-term view that they're young and they got to build the relationships with each other, but they can just bring a really Carlton style of game to the season. They will bring more fans and more eyeballs to it. And, you got to earn, everyone's got to earn their way in. And I think they'll do that.
Without a doubt. And I think Shannon and I spoke about it a lot last year, was not only the disappointment of the season last season, but this year. But the disappointment of the fact that the first game was a complete lockout at Icon Park, and people loved the program that we had built. But because of their on-field failure, to put it bluntly, they lost a large pool of fans. And so that's exactly what you're saying, is we're the Carlton Football Club. We have the opportunity here to do massive things with this program. But for that to happen, you need to be delivering a product that people care about and people want to watch. And that comes down to exactly what you just said, Tez.
And in saying that, you want to, with the men, the actual group feed off the supporters. So whether they're winning or whether they're losing, we still need to get there and put bums on seats and show them that we actually care. Because the boys wouldn't have won 9 in a row if it hadn't have been for the fans that continuously kept coming week in, week out, never giving up on them. We need to do the same for the women. We have this program. We are privileged to have an AFLW license. We need to make sure that we get there in droves, because they're going to feed off our energy. And if we're there screaming our lungs out, win, lose or draw, they're going to be like, hey, this is kind of fun.
Maybe we should win.
Supporting us. No, they're here supporting us.
Yeah.
Let's put on a show for them. So it's a bit of give and take here. We need to show that we're dedicated to them. In turn, they need to show that they're dedicated to us. So it's going to be a bit of give and take.
That letter. That video of that letter. What you said just then, if they're dedicated to us and we're dedicated to them, it's exactly what I thought of that letter, because I think they truly do get that. And I think that's what's coming out of this season, is I think it's clicked to them that they do have a responsibility here. They're not just running around on a football field having a laugh. This is a business, a brutal one at that, and you're also carrying the legacy of the Carlton Monogram, which has years and years and years and years of history before you, successful history, and that's what you're living up to. And I think, I don't want to say they get it, because until we see some success, they don't get it. But I think it's clicked that something needs to happen.
100%. And it's exciting, the prospect, because it's like, well, we don't know. Like, they don't know what's going to happen this year. Like, I want to sit here every week and go, look, this may not have worked, but this did. Mm. Instead of that just didn't work.
We don't have a game plan.
There is no game plan. I do not want to have to say that this year, because I know everyone got a good giggle out of it, but it was facts. Like,
we're not going to see our coach commentating other games, are we?
No. Crikey, okay, no. I hope not, because I do not need to see. We'll probably have Daniel Harford commentating games, right?
That'll be interesting.
I just don't think. He gave it the attention it deserved.
Well, I don't think the club gave it the attention it deserved as a whole.
On that point, I was listening to a podcast the other day and they were talking about AFLW. They were doing all the team previews and they spoke for a while about – they spoke quite negatively about how Carlton lost their coach, they lost their head of football, they lost this, they lost that. I'm looking at all that as a very positive – it wasn't working with them. They weren't doing the right things, clearly. So it's not that we lost them. I think we pushed them aside and said, let's get serious about this program and let's get the right people in the right places to make it a success. So don't get too sucked into what we've lost, because I think it's actually a really big positive what we've lost.
That would actually have me in stitches, him trying to say that he tried to implement stuff, because, mate, you didn't. Let's be honest, you didn't. I mean, I find it hard to believe that there was actually a game plan ever there, other than kick the ball long. But I'm really, really excited to see what our midfield group will do this year, because I know our midfield group's actually quite strong. And
Mim,
obviously, it's where our drive's going to come from, is the middle. And obviously we won't know what our forward structure is going to look like until we see it in action, because I know Darcy Vessio is still going to be a part of that forward line. I want to see Jess Good do something this year. I want to see Keely Skepper really step up. I just really want to see that young forward line group gel a little bit better than they did last year, because it was very disjointed.
Last year was our greatest struggle by far. We could not kick goals. For one, we lost all our tools throughout the year. We had injury destroyed us, which made it really difficult on Darcy, because they just couldn't kick goals because no one was getting down to them. But now that Mia Austin's back, that gives me great confidence that that's at least just another tool. If she's not marking it, she's hitting it down to our smalls. And I think that's what we lacked so much last year. So fingers crossed, I'm praying that we kick more goals this season, because it was a tough watch when we just weren't kicking goals at all.
It was hard to watch.
Yeah, we put our defense under a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure.
Our back six is solid.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have any qualms with our back six. Like, and that's probably one reason why Nat Plain did leave, is probably because she couldn't crack into that back six, because it was so strong. So, yeah, I really like Nick's done his research and I love this.
I agree with that.
I'm 100% on board with all of those names, because we saw glimpses of them. Well, Maddie Hendry is one of our new recruits. But I'm really keen to see all of those other names really step up this year and really thrive off a new game plan. And it's really, really going to be one of those things where we're not going to know. We haven't got a crystal ball. We can't see exactly what's going to play out next week against the Gold Coast, because I'm pretty sure they lost their cracky matches. So practice matches mean nothing until the real thing comes along. So I'm really excited to see where next week's going to take us. I know round one is a daunting prospect for a lot of them, but they're really excited and really keen to get out there. And I know preseason's been long and tedious, and the wait to find out when round one was going to be was also painful for them. And along with the current CBA, I think they're still trying to work out little bits and pieces of the CBA. And with the news now that they're going to have equal prize money as the men's, there's a lot of things falling into place behind the scenes for them that they can just go out and do their thing now. So, yeah, I'm really keen.
Their starting level, their base level from preseason in terms of their position in the sport, it's gotten better and better every year. I mean, we've got the salary issue better. We've got the prize money issue better. We've got the training times, training like full-time athletes, a little bit better. They're just chipping away.
This is completely irrelevant to Carlton's W program, but just like fun fact to anyone out there, the AFLW season launch, if you watch Selling Sunsets, Chriselle was there. I nearly fell off my chair that Chriselle was there. She has 3 million Instagram followers. She has triple the AFL followers, and she was at the AFLW season launch. I nearly had a heart attack, but hopefully that brings some more eyes to our game. Fingers crossed. Shan's just having a cockpit over the fact that I've just said that someone with 3 million.
I know, I'm just dying. But no, it's going to be fantastic to see. And I know, like, just they've launched the new branding, We The Ready. So this is going to be something that's incredible. You might have to explain who it is because Nick's like, who?
Well, his wife knows exactly who it is. She cannot believe it either. She's saying she's loving Selling Sunset. Nick, I'll message you later. It's really not that important. I just thought it was pretty cool that someone of such big prominence globally, probably more famous in America than in Australia, was at the AFLW season launch. I thought that was very exciting. But yes, We The Ready is the new branding, and I think that's really exciting. And I think as much as it's a Carlton reset, I think now that we're not, you know, in the first season of some teams and giving them a complete cop-out because it's their first year, I think, you know, we are ready. This is now the competition we're going to know, and we're going to move forward with it, and fingers crossed it just takes off. Are you okay, Shan? She's okay.
Let me die quietly.
Can you not die on our show, please?
Episode one, we lose Shan.
Shan just dies live on air.
No, I promise. I'm fine.
Are you sure? No, I'm kidding. I believe you. But no, it is a very, very exciting prospect. And, you know, all this excitement, let's build it up. Also, last season, let's not forget, AFLW season was straight after the heartbreak of the men's. A lot of people were completely deflated that they didn't even want to watch football. They didn't want to look at the Carlton monogram, nothing. They just did not want a bar of it because we were so heartbroken. This year, no matter what happens, let's build that, keep that excitement. You know, let's take it into the women because although it's the same club, they cannot control what does and doesn't happen with the men's. So let's give them, you know, the respect of not taking out whatever happens with the men's on the women's season, and let's just keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. I think also the way I got into the W, I came in season 2 or 3. I was away. I wasn't in the country for the first 2 seasons, but at the start, it was just going to hang out at Icon Park with my sister, and it became like a social thing more than anything else.
So cute.
So, yeah.
Get your friends together. Get your Carlton friends together. Go have a coffee in the Carlton Cafe. That cafe is incredible. Go have a shop. Yeah. Buy a new badge. Maybe don't buy a badge because every time I've brought an AFLW badge, they've got injured that game. So maybe leave the badge. I've got a badge purse. Yeah, it's really bad.
Leave the badge. Leave the badge. Get a pin.
I will be getting
get a pin. Get a PA pin.
And just get
all the AFLW. And they're on their way.
They are on their way.
They're on their way. No, but do it. Like, Cheer Squad are going to be there. We are doing a banner for, I think, all home games at Icon Park. So There's going to be a bit of a crossover with the men's because we are in finals for the men's. So I'm really looking forward to it. Next week's going to be a very busy week for us.
Because
next week's a bye for the men's before finals.
Bye.
So that actually worked out really well. We'll get a bye for men's banner, but we'll be definitely doing one for the Gold Coast game. So I'm really, really excited to get back there. I believe the game's next Saturday at lunchtime. So what better way to spend your Saturday than heading down to Icon Park with a bunch of friends? Pack a picnic, sit in the Heatley stand, sit wherever you want, really get there and really support the girls because it's going to be phenomenal.
I think Shan just became the marketing we need to get
some funding from the club.
Also, Shan, can we please get Michelle's comment up because that is very true. Yes, there will be a line to get a photo with Terry.
I swear to you, everywhere Kira and I turn, there is people swarmed around Terry. He is like the most famous person in this room.
Let's get back to the footy. Let's get back to the football.
Well, one last thing on the pins is the background of this show. We've got a new background and it looks incredible. So I just thought that deserved a mention because obviously Tez mentioned he got to go down to the club. The BA pin looks absolutely incredible. The grass is beautiful. And I'm just very, very excited for what this show can do this season.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm really excited for the new branding that we've got coming. And we actually have a viewer from New Zealand, guys. This is incredible.
Hey, Kate.
Welcome, Kate. You're abroad. That is the definition of abroad. We do want to thank everyone that's been in the comments. Some familiar names that have been here with us. Well, I think this is episode 27 from my count. So to think we've done 27 episodes of this
That's really cool. I'm glad you kept I'm glad you're aware of the number. That's really cool. That's really cool.
I actually went back on YouTube and counted them. So bit embarrassing. But no, I just think it's really important to note how many episodes we've done because it's something like this is a privileged position that you've been able to give Kira and I to be able to do something like this. And I don't think there is another show like this at all. Like, I don't think any other clubs really put enough effort into behind the scenes for their women's. And I'm really, really looking forward to this season. And sure, if you want to do a banner for us, Nick, happy to run through one.
Absolutely. I just think the channel is about the club and there's so many different facets of the club. So this is just a no-brainer for me. The hard part is finding people who are committed enough to host it, and that's the two of you. So congratulate yourself.
Look, we wouldn't be here without you. So, it's been a wild ride, to say the least. And let's just hope this season, there's only 10 rounds. So we really got to make the most of it. And sure, why not? I'll bring my laptop and I'll be live from Banner next week. So that'll be fun trying to negotiate that. But I'll shoot upstairs when I'm at the the club and go from there. But no, I'm so happy to be here. My team is currently playing off at a prelim final this weekend, so I'm coaching them. Yes, everyone, I am officially coaching.
She's a coach. Guys, we need to actually have a discussion about this. We made so many jokes last season about Coach Shan and how Shan would be an incredible coach and she should coach Carlton. She's a coach now. She's getting her resume sorted for when she's going to be our AFLW coach.
Wow. It's done. Inception. Inception. It begins.
You heard it here first. Everyone watching, it's happening.
Yep.
Yeah, it truly is. And we play 11:45 this Sunday out at Elsternwick Park against the top team who lost their first final. So finals are a different ball game. Could they go out and straight? Yes, they can. But no, I'm really excited to see where that is. Lewis, I love Lewis is one of our lovely fans who comes on every week and leaves a lovely comment.
It's a good man.
Look, let's just, yeah.
That's great. We will welcome Ava back anytime, though. Ava's a great co-host.
Oh, no, she lives on my hip at the moment, so it was a task in itself to get away from her. But, no, I do think that it is time for bed for her, so I will probably love to wrap this up. I think it's been a great first show. We didn't need to go too far into the crystal ball for this year, but, no, it's been an absolute pleasure sharing the screen with you again, Kira. And Terry, thank you so much for joining us for our first show of the year. Gave me a fright when we jumped in before we jumped on, scared the life out of me because I wasn't looking. But we do appreciate you coming on. You're welcome back at any point during the year, and hopefully this year we'll have a few special guests along the way, which is definitely something that we are working on in the background.
Absolutely. Nah, my pleasure, ladies, and see you on the next one.
Yes, see you next week, 7 p.m. We've moved to a 7 p.m. time slot this time, nice and early. So thank you so much, everybody. Thank you for all your love in the comments. We do read them. We do see them. We do see everyone here. We do appreciate it. Looking forward to a big round one preview next week. We'll see you all next week. Thank you, Kira. Thank you, Terry. Good night, everyone, and go Blues.
Go Blues. Go Blues.